أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we are on page number 71 of the Quran, which is Surah Ali Imran, the fourth juz. We are coming now towards the end of the passage of this surah that speaks about the Battle of Uhud. So over the last number of episodes, we have been going through the pages and passages of this surah that have dealt with the lessons and the principles that we can deduce and derive from the Battle of Uhud, the second major battle that was fought in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many principles and lessons that Allah azza wa jalla has given to us, many principles and lessons that we can benefit from, even today in our time, in the way that we should behave and in the way that we should have in terms of our iman and in terms of our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of those issues that we've discussed over the past few episodes. We're now coming towards the end of this particular subject, if you like, this topic that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in great detail in Surah Ali Imran. So today we begin from verse number 159 of Surah Ali Imran. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. By an act of mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal, you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were gentle in your dealings with them. Had you been harsh or hard-hearted, they would have dispersed and left you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them. Consult with them about matters. Then when you have decided on a course of action, put your trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous number of episodes, or in the previous episode or so, mentioned to us the verses of the way that the people who spoke out against the believers, they went to fight alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that they acted. So as we mentioned in the Battle of Uhud, a great number of the hypocrites essentially pulled themselves away from the army of the Muslims. They left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims to fight, and they returned to the city of Medina, and they were under the leadership of the leader of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Those people would then come and say, you know, had you listened to us, had you obeyed us, those people, 70 odd of the companions who were martyred, wouldn't have died. Had you been alongside us, you wouldn't have been defeated. Had you stayed with us and listened to us, you know, you wouldn't have been injured, you wouldn't have been harmed, there wouldn't have been any blood spilt, and so on and so forth. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, as we mentioned in the previous episode and two, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that death would have come to you wherever you are. Even if you had been lying down upon your beds, in your homes, in the safety or with the safety of your family, or the relative safety of your family, death can still come to you, it can still strike you. And so therefore, what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed will always come to you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from His favor and from His grace and bounty upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that He allowed and made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a person of gentle disposition. He had a gentle character, and we know from studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was extremely gentle and kind and forbearing sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would be kind towards the poor, kind towards the needy, kind towards the orphans and the weak. And he was someone who was generally gentle sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and easygoing with the way that he dealt with people. So the Bedouin person that comes and, as we know, urinates in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gentle with him. Or the other Bedouin who comes and pulls the cloak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with such force that he leaves a mark upon the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then asks for sadaqah and charity, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gentle with us. Or the examples that we have of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own companions in the errors that they made and the mistakes that they made and sometimes the sins that they committed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gentle with them. And here likewise is an example, because essentially what happens, as we know, in the Battle of Uhud, is that that group of archers that was placed upon that mountain by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a good number of them disobey the direct order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a direct result of that, the Quraysh are able to come and rout the Muslim army. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gentle with those people. He's gentle with them sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there's two ways that you can respond in that situation. One is to attach blame. It is to be harsh. It is to be stern and strict. It is to be forceful with them. And the other way is to understand that they made a genuine mistake. It wasn't done out of malice or ill feelings or hatred for Islam or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a genuine mistake that they made. It was a lapse of judgment on their part, but it was a genuine one. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gentle with them. He is easy with them. He pardons and forgives them. And Allah azza wa jalla praises this. And this is therefore something which every Muslim should have, especially when it comes to those relationships that you are part of each and every single day, with your closest family members, the people that are around you, your close friends, the people that you work with, if you're, for example, in a position of responsibility, or your students, if you're a teacher. These relationships and these dynamics are something which require you, generally speaking, to be easygoing and to be gentle and to be kind. Because if you're constantly strict and harsh, you will find that people don't generally respond to you in a very good way. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. So it is by the mercy of your Lord, of Allah Azza wa Jal, that you were gentle in your dealings with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always gentle. So now, the father or the mother with their children, especially as those children enter into their teenage years and they become older, and they have more independence, and they want to assert their own dominance and their own authority and their own character into those issues and situations that they're part of, and they will make mistakes, and they will do wrong, and they will sin, and they will have lapses of judgment. The way that we respond as parents is extremely important. Yes, there is a moment to be harsh and strict, but also, generally speaking, the overall disposition towards them should be one of gentleness. And likewise, the employer with his employees, the teacher with his students, and all of those people. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْلًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. Because if you were someone who was always harsh, hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have dispersed and left you. They would have gone away from you. Because the nature of humans is that if you're constantly harsh with them, they feel like, or their response will be, I don't need you. There's no reason why I should suffer in this way. What is it that you're providing for me? Or they will suffer in silence. They will continue to bear it, but inside they're seething. Inside they have problems, or they have this type of malice that is building up towards you because of the way that you are treating them. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had you been harsh, had you been hard-hearted, they would have dispersed and left you. Now the beauty of Islam is that it is a religion that is balanced. On the one hand, we're told that generally speaking, you should be gentle. But we also know from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there were moments in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be stern and used to be harsh, and he used to be strict, especially when it came to the commands and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, you have to be balanced in the way that you deal with this and in the way that you hold yourself in terms of your character. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praised for his character. Allah azza wa jalla then says, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. So pardon them, forgive them, or ask forgiveness for them, and consult them in your affairs. Three things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructed to do that are part of the gentleness and the kindness of his character and disposition. The first is to pardon. Pardon them for the mistakes that they make. In any relationship that you are part of, husband and wife, parents and children, siblings amongst themselves, friends, neighbors, employees, business partners, there will always be mistakes. And as long as those mistakes are genuine mistakes, they're not done out of malice or hatred or something in which that person is genuinely trying to harm you, the default ruling is that you pardon and you forgive. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is instructing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pardon those companions and the people around him that made mistakes. And we know, for anyone that reads the seerah, studies the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as is human nature, on a number of occasions, companions said things that maybe they shouldn't have said, or did things that maybe they shouldn't have done, out of a simple ignorance or lack of understanding or lapse of judgment or whatever it may be. That's human nature. People always say things and make mistakes. When you're in a close relationship with someone, they will sometimes say things that they don't necessarily mean in a hurtful way, but it can be offensive. They may do things that are offensive, but they don't mean it to be something which is hurtful to you in that way. It's just the way that people are sometimes. And so the default is that you pardon. Because if you constantly hold each one of those people to account for everything that they do, then that relationship will have a very short span. It will have a very short-term effect. And that's because human nature is that we make mistakes. So just as they make mistakes and I must pardon them, then I acknowledge also that I make mistakes as well, and that they're pardoning me. It's not just a one-way thing that I'm always the one pardoning and forgiving. They're the ones always making mistakes. I equally make as many mistakes, if not more. I equally do as much harm or offend people in certain ways as they do to me. And so therefore I forgive, I pardon them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, is being told, and seek forgiveness for them. This is a beautiful characteristic that we don't do enough of, especially when it comes to our family members and the people that are close to us. And that is that we don't ask Allah's forgiveness for them. Someone does something wrong and we say, may Allah forgive you. May Allah pardon you. May Allah guide you. May Allah rectify your affairs. These are du'as that are good, noble du'as that should be made, that shows the love that we have for one another as Muslims. That we want not only us, like we don't just pardon them ourselves, but we seek Allah's forgiveness for them. So someone comes and they do you harm and you say, may Allah forgive you. What a beautiful dua, what a beautiful way of reconciling between two people, of dissolving that situation that could possibly become difficult. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Seek forgiveness for them. And the third thing is وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Make mushawara. And that is consult them in your affairs. The Prophet ﷺ is told to consult the companions around him, the people around him, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ would do. Now, this is important because, as we said before, one of the reasons that the Battle of Uhud takes place in the way that it does is because of this very issue. And that is the Prophet ﷺ consulting the companions. He consults them, he asks them, should we fight and protect Medina from within, or should we go out and fight? And the companions respond and they say, O Messenger of Allah, we should go out and fight. And then obviously as a result of that, what happens takes place. Now someone could turn around and say, the Prophet ﷺ is a messenger of Allah, receives revelation from Allah, is inspired by Allah. He doesn't need ﷺ, the advice of the companions and the people around him. But likewise, at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ is a leader and a role model and an example for others who will come and follow after him. People who don't have revelation or inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who are not prophets and messengers of Allah. And so for them, the Prophet ﷺ is being told, this is the way that you should act. That yes, what you did was correct. And that shows you that making consultation, and there is a surah that is obviously named after Surah Ash-Shura, which means to consult. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in that surah, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, that from the attributes of the believers is that they consult one another. So therefore it is something which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, but it is something which allows a person then to make decisions that are more rounded, more grounded, based on more shared experience. Because I, despite my knowledge or experience that I may have, it is still limited because I don't know everything. I haven't experienced everything. I haven't been in every scenario situation. So when I consult my brother, my sister, my parents, my friends, the people in my community, depending on what that situation is and the circumstances that demand, you know, because you can't consult everyone for everything. There are certain people that you will go to for certain things because you consider them to have experience in that affair or to have wisdom that they can share with you. You go to them and they give you their position. They give you their nasiha, and that is from the rights of the Muslim over another Muslim, as the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you ask for sincere advice, it is given to you. So here, likewise, it is something which allows a person then to leave with a greater understanding of what is the best outcome or solution. Likewise, from the benefits of shura, is that usually, because it is something which has been consulted upon by many people, the end result is usually something which is greater or better than if a person was just to make their own individual efforts and make their own individual judgments. And that is why it is something which is good. And it is also one of the greatest ways of increasing the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood, increasing the bonds of relationships that you have with those people. Because when you come to someone and seek their advice, especially in issues that are important, issues that are pivotal, issues that are fundamental, that person feels honored that you chose them from all of the people that you could have approached. They came to you and it shows that they trust you. It shows that they value your advice. It shows that they honor you because they put you in that position of giving them that advice. And it shows, therefore, that they value your input. And that is something which then increases the bonds of relationships and increases the bonds of brotherhood. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do throughout his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would go and he would consult, sometimes from his family members, from his wives, and sometimes from his close companions like Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and sometimes he would gather the Muslims all together and he would seek their advice. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ, and once you have made that decision, now that you've consulted, you've sought advice, now you make that decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then place your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, because sooner or later, you must make that decision. And from that decision-making process also, as we know in the Sunnah, is to pray istikhara and to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His divine guidance. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal loves those who place their trust upon Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse 160 then continues and says, إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وإن يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعده وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. If Allah helps you, then no one can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, then who can help you? Indeed, the believers should put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore is saying that Allah Azza wa Jal, when you trust in Allah, you seek advice, you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, then if Allah Azza wa Jal comes to your aid, then no one can overcome you. If Allah is by your side and with you, giving you His divine help and guidance and assistance, then no one, no other possible force in the universe can overcome you. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ, but if He forsakes you, if Allah leaves you and abandons you, if Allah does not help you and assist you and aid you, then Allah Azza wa Jal says, who can possibly come to help you? There is no force in the heavens and the earth that can stand by you and guide you and help you if Allah Azza wa Jal has forsaken you. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal loves those, or let the believers put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are important issues, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud is going through a major event that affects the whole community. It's not a personal issue or a family issue. It is something which the whole society will have to be involved in. And so the Prophet ﷺ is being told the way in which he should behave and conduct himself. And a great deal and part of that is, number one, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having certainty in Allah's promise, and at the same time taking those steps and means of preparation, seeking advice, consultation and so on, so that a person can make the decisions that they need to make. Allah Azza wa Jalla then in verse 161, he says, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَغُلَّ وَمَن يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. It is inconceivable that a prophet would ever dishonestly take something from the battle gains. Anyone who does so will carry it with him on the day of resurrection, when each soul will be fully repaid for what it has done and no one will be wronged. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying in this verse that it's not befitting for a prophet of Allah to come and do what is called ghulul. Ghulul is when someone comes and before the battle or war booty, the spoils of war are distributed, they come and they take something for themselves. Right? And some of the scholars said, in fact, it's not just the war booty or the spoils of war, but any type of financial responsibility that a person's given. Someone's the treasurer of their local masjid, someone's in charge of their local community fund or the family fund that they've put together, someone's in charge of some type of cooperative scheme where people come and they give their money on a trust basis. It's not befitting for a person to come and to take money from that. So the Prophet ﷺ is being absolved by Allah Azza wa Jal from that type of behavior, that he would take money from the treasury of the Muslims or from the spoils of war before it has been distributed. And in fact, to do so, to take from that way, is considered to be from the major sins in Islam. Because of this verse and because of other texts that we find in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about one of the battles when a man had died and the people praised him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, rather what he took, what he stole from the war booty before it had been distributed, that is something that is punishing him in his grave, meaning in the fire. And so they went and they searched him and they found certain possessions that he had taken from the spoils of war before they had been distributed. That is called in Arabic Ghalul, and it is, as we said, from the major sins. These are accusations that used to be made, or that the hypocrites and others would make about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he takes and he benefits. And this is always something that you will find when people are in positions of power and responsibility. People often have this assertion. Sometimes it's true, and there's evidence and there's, you know, proof to show that these people are stealing from the wealth of the Muslims and from the general fund of the Muslims in the communities or their countries and whatever it may be. And at other times, it's people just using their whisperings of shaitan, using their suspicion, using their evil thoughts to, if you like, project this onto those people that are innocent of those accusations. And so a person has to be very careful. Very careful in what they assert, very careful in what they say. Because it may be that person, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed them with their own wealth, their business people, their people that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them wealth. And so they drive nice cars and they live in nice houses. And at the same time, they're also, for example, on the board of the local masjid or part of the local charity or part of a fund that has been gathered. And so people start saying, oh, look at this man. He has, or this brother or this sister, now they have a nice car and they're also in charge. I don't know what they're doing with the money. And these types of suspicions are not befitting. And it is therefore especially not befitting when it comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For Allah Azza wa Jalla chose him based upon his truthfulness and his honesty and his integrity, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that whoever steals in this way, he will bring it forth on the day of judgment. Allah will use it to punish them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about that man who died in battle and he had done so. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ, and then every soul will be fully repaid for that which it used to do, and no one will be wronged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 162 then continues and says, أَفَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ كَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Can the man who pursues Allah's good pleasure be like the man who has brought Allah's wrath upon himself and whose home will be hell, a foul destination? Allah Azza wa Jalla is comparing, making this comparison between these two people. One person who all of their actions, all of their intentions are to seek Allah's pleasure. So everything that they do, it is to seek Allah's pleasure and His reward subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is he equal or like the man who spends his life incurring Allah's wrath and anger? So these two people, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, cannot be equal. They cannot be upon, or they cannot be one and the same. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal praises the one who uses their life and uses the skills and abilities and blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to them to pursue Allah's pleasure and Allah's reward. They are not like the one who takes all of those blessings and uses those skills and talents that Allah gave to them, and they use it to incur the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That second one, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ, because that person, his destination will be the hellfire, وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ, and what an evil destination that is. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is comparing these two people, because likewise you have in life, as we know, the believer and the disbeliever. and the one who works for Allah's reward and His pleasure, and the one who doesn't work for Allah's reward and pleasure, therefore incurring Allah's wrath. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes on to say in verse 163, هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. They are in a different class in Allah's eyes. Indeed, Allah sees exactly what they do. And so therefore you have these different classes, these different levels of people. You have those people that come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they amongst themselves are of different levels. There is not just one level of seeking nearness or drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are of different levels. And then there are those people who turn away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they too are of levels. That too is a spectrum, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best that which they do. In verse 164, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Allah has truly been gracious to the believers in sending them a messenger from amongst themselves to recite His revelations to them, to make them grow in purity, and to teach them the scripture and wisdom before that they were clearly astray. From the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He sent to us a messenger from amongst ourselves. That messenger whose name we know, whose lineage we know, whose family we know his background, we know everything about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This messenger was sent by Allah Azza wa Jal from amongst the people. He spoke their language. He understood their circumstances and their situations. He therefore outlined a way for them to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come close to Him, Jalla fi'ula. This is from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't leave you without guidance, doesn't leave you without a role model, without someone that you can emulate, someone that you can take as a leader, someone that you can follow in their footsteps. And it is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sent you a messenger that you can relate to. Because as we know, one of the things that the disbelievers would ask is that they would say, surely if Allah was going to send prophets or messengers, He should have sent angels down to us. We want angels to become, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says that if upon the earth there were angels walking, then their prophets and messengers would have been angels as well. But for humans, humans are what is needed. Because had the angels come, then people would have turned around and said, but that's an angel. I can't worship the way that angel is worshipping. I can't pray or fast or do all of those things. That's an angel. Doesn't need to do what I need to. Doesn't have free choice to disobey Allah anyway. How can that possibly be a good role model for me? And so Allah Azza wa Jalla sent for the believers a messenger from amongst themselves. And that is from the du'as, as we know, of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ibrahim asked Allah Azza wa Jalla to send out from amongst the Arabs a messenger from his progeny, from those people that are settled in Mecca, a messenger that would come from amongst themselves, that messenger being our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, he recites the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla that come from him subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them from shirk, from kufr, from disbelief, and also purifies them physically in terms of telling them how to cleanse themselves, the hygiene that they need, and the way that they should, in terms of their character, and the character that they should have, and staying away from evil characteristics. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and he teaches them about iman, about the Qur'an, about the sunnah, about the religion, about that which brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and gives them understanding of the Sharia, and that which brings them the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ, and before all of this, before the coming of this messenger and this revelation and the purification and the teaching of the book and wisdom, before all of this they were indeed clearly astray. And that is the end of verse number 164. There is one verse left on this page, but inshallah ta'ala we will take that with the next episode, because it is linked to the verses that will come inshallah ta'ala on the next page. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, we bring today's episode to a close. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.